that go on in our minds. And so I just, you know, really thank God for that, because we sometimes become unaware of the things that Satan tries to do to us in our minds. But I thank God for the way that he used Joyce Meyer to even, you know, write this book. I thank God for how he used the Holy Spirit to use Joyce Meyer to even write this book, because I know it has helped me and is helping me and the people that we, you know, minister to through the Word of God, and the usage of this book are really being blessed by it. And the reason that I like this book so much is because it uses scripture. She uses scripture. It's not Joyce's opinion, but it is the Word of God. And I thank God for his word. Hallelujah. So without further ado, let's just get started with chapter 9. And the title of chapter 9 is called A Wandering, Wondering Mind, W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, and W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, A Wandering, Wondering Mind. And for those of you in Spreecast, if you can see this, I'm trying to put it on here, A Wandering, Wondering Mind, chapter 9. Okay? And again, we are using this book by permission by Joyce Meyer. We did get written permission from her for using this book. Hallelujah. And A Wandering, Wondering Mind is what it's called tonight. And I don't know if you can, guys can see this on Spreecast, but the scripture says 1 Peter 1:13, and that's from the King James Bible. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Okay, and that's what we're going to be reading tonight. 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. In the previous chapter, she stated that a mind too busy is abnormal. Another condition of the mind that is abnormal is for it to be wandering all over the place. An inability to concentrate indicates mental attack from the devil. Babe, did we read chapter 9 last week? Hello? I don't know if it sounds like we might have read this one. We're going to read it again, because we need to understand that our mind does wander and wonder. Okay? Many people have spent years allowing their minds to wander because they have never applied principles of discipline to their thought life. Quite often, people who cannot seem to concentrate think they are mentally deficient. However, an inability to concentrate can be the result of years of letting the mind do whatever it wants to do whenever it wants to do it. A lack of concentration can also be a symptom of vitamin deficiency. Certain B vitamins enhance concentration. Therefore, if you have an inability to concentrate, ask yourself if you're eating right and are nutritionally sound. Extreme fatigue can also affect concentration. I have found that when I am excessively tired, Satan will try to attack my mind because he knows it is more difficult to resist him during these times. The devil wants you and me to think that we are mentally deficient, so we will not attempt to do anything to cause him problems. He wants us to passively accept whatever lies he tells us. One of our daughters had difficulty concentrating during her childhood years. Reading was difficult for her because concentration and comprehension go hand in hand. Many children and even some adults don't comprehend what they read, and I know that's the truth. Many children and even some adults don't comprehend what they read. Their eyes scan the words on the page, but their minds do not really understand what is being read. Often a lack of comprehension is the result of a lack of concentration. She says, I know that for myself, I can read a chapter in the Bible or a book and all of a sudden realize that I do not know what I have read at all. I can go back and read it again, and it all seems new to me because even though my eyes were scanning the words on the page, my mind had wandered off somewhere else. Because I did not stay focused on what I was doing, I failed to comprehend what I was reading. Often the real problem behind the lack of comprehension is a lack of attention caused by a wandering mind. She says, recently Dave and I and a couple we are friends with in Utah were riding in a car together. Simultaneously, the other couple and I heard Dave say, I bless myself. We laughed when we all realized that even though Dave had sneezed loudly, none of us consciously heard him because we had all gone somewhere else in our minds. I spoke up and said, sorry, I didn't hear you. I was in an office in St. Louis. The man in the back seat laughed and said, I was in Florida taking care of some business. His wife laughed, too, and said, I was in Dallas in my office handling a situation. In a few moments of time, the three of us had all gone to another state mentally. It showed us how quickly the mind can wander from what is really happening where we are. We laughed because Dave had to bless himself since none of us were mentally there. It was funny, but it was also eye-opening to realize how we can lose awareness of what is happening around us by not focusing on the present. She says, a wandering mind. Ecclesiastes 5:1, keep your foot or give your mind to what you are doing. Keep your foot or give your mind to what you are doing. She says, I believe the expression keep your foot means don't lose your balance or get off track. The implication of this phrase indicates that one stays on track by keeping his mind on what he is doing. She said, I had a wandering mind and had to train it by discipline. It was not easy, and sometimes I still have a relapse. While trying to complete some project, I will suddenly realize that my mind has just wandered off onto something else that has nothing to do with the issue at hand. I have not yet arrived at a place of perfect concentration, but at least I understand how important it is not to allow my mind to go wherever it wishes, whenever it desires. Webster's dictionary defines the word wander as to move about aimlessly, roam, to go by an indirect route or at no set pace, to amble, to proceed in an irregular course or action, meander, or to think or express oneself unclearly or incoherently. If you are like me, you can be sitting in a church service listening to the speaker, really enjoying and benefiting from what is being said, when suddenly your mind begins to wander. After a while, you wake up to find that you don't remember a thing that's been going on. Even though your body stayed in church, your mind has been at the shopping center browsing through the stores or home in the kitchen cooking dinner. Remember, in spiritual warfare, the mind is the battlefield. That's where the enemy makes his attack. He knows very well that even though a person attends church, if he can't keep his mind what is being taught, he will gain absolutely nothing by being there. The devil knows that a person cannot discipline himself to complete a project if he cannot discipline his mind and keep it on what he's doing. This mind-wandering phenomenon also occurs during conversation. She says, there are times when my husband Dave is talking to me and I listen for a while, then all of a sudden I realize that I have not heard a thing he has been saying. Why? Because I allowed my mind to wander off on something else. My body was standing there appearing to listen, yet in my mind I heard nothing. For many years when this sort of thing happened, I would pretend that I knew exactly what Dave was saying. Now I stop and say, can you back up and repeat that? I let my mind wander off, and I did not hear anything you said. In this way, I feel that at least I'm dealing with the problem. Confronting issues is the only way to get on the victorious side of them. I've decided that if the devil went to the trouble to attack me with a wandering mind, then perhaps something was being said that I needed to hear. One way to combat the enemy in this area is by taking advantage of the recorded messages provided by most churches. If you haven't yet learned to discipline your mind to keep it on what is being said in church, buy a recording of the sermon each week and listen to it as many times as you need in order to get the message. The devil will give up when he sees that you are not giving in. Remember this, Satan wants you to think that you are mentally deficient, that something is wrong with you. But the truth is, you just need to begin disciplining your mind. Don't let it run all over town doing whatever it pleases. Begin today to keep your foot, to keep your mind on what you're doing. You will need to practice for a while. Breaking old habits and forming new ones always takes time, but it's worth it in the end. The present moment is the greatest gift we have from God, but if we are not present, we miss it. A wandering mind, a wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, a wondering mind. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust and be confident, that it is granted to you and you will get it. Mark 11:23-24. She says, faced with one thing or another, I frequently began to hear myself say, I wonder. She said, for example, I would say, I wonder what the weather will be like tomorrow. I wonder what I should wear to the party. I wonder what kind of grades Danny, my son, will get on his report card. I wonder how many people will show up at the seminar. The dictionary partially defines the word wonder in the noun form as a feeling of puzzlement or doubt, and in the verb form as to be filled with curiosity or doubt. She says, I've come to learn that I am much better off doing something positive than just wondering all the time about everything imaginable. Instead of wondering what kind of grades Danny will get, I can believe that he will make good grades. Rather than wondering what I should wear to the party, I can decide what to wear. Instead of wondering about the weather or about how many people will attend one of my meetings, I can just turn the matter over to the Lord, trusting him to work out all things for good, regardless of what happens. She said, our son Danny did not like school and struggled all the way through, so I did a lot of wondering about him and his future. I thought you would enjoy knowing that he is currently the CEO of Joyce Meyer Ministries. All my wondering was wasted time. God knew his future and had everything under control. Although some wondering about things is normal, if it is excessive, it can leave a person in indecision, and indecision causes confusion. Wondering, indecision, and confusion prevent an individual from receiving from God by faith the answer to his prayer or need. Say it again. Wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, indecision and confusion prevent an individual from receiving from God by faith the answer to his prayer or need. She says, notice that in Mark 11, 23 and 24, Jesus did not say, whatever you ask for in prayer, wonder if you'll get it. He said, instead, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and you will. As Christians, as believers, we are to believe and not doubt. Wow, that chapter is over already. As Christians, we are to believe and not doubt. How many times have you prayed a prayer and you said, I wonder if God's going to answer it? After you prayed, how many times have you actually just sat there and prayed and then got up off your knees or got up from wherever you were and said, I wonder if God's really going to answer that prayer? Well, she just gave us a scripture in Mark 11, 22 and 24 that says, whatever you pray, believing, doubting nothing, you can have it. So if Jesus is telling us in Mark that if we pray for something, believe it and we shall receive it, then we shouldn't be wondering if we should just believe that he's going to answer it. Right? At least that's the way I perceive it, that we should just believe God. Okay? The Bible also tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith in God, we cannot believe him. But guess what? God wants us to believe him no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, or what God wants us to believe him. Good evening, Minister Desiree. He wants us to believe him. He wants us to trust him. But guess what? We have to train ourselves to trust God. We have to train ourselves to believe that whatever God says, God's going to do. We have to believe God. God says whatever we ask according to his will, we can have it. That's in the book of 1 John. Whatever we ask according to his will, we can have it. Now, we can't be sitting there wondering about, you know, somebody else's spouse and wondering if God is going to give us somebody else's spouse, because he's not going to do that. He's not going to take somebody else's spouse from them and give them to you because you've been wondering about them and you know, having this fantasy, you know, marriage with them or relationship with them. God's not going to do that. Okay? So you might as well not even ask for that, because that's not according to God's will, and God is not going to give you something that's not according to his will. Amen? So if you have a problem with your mind wandering and wandering, just going from everywhere, somebody might be listening to this broadcast right now, and their mind might be going somewhere else. Your mind might be over there thinking about fixing dinner. Your mind might be over there about eating dinner or going out or whatever is going to happen, getting your clothes ready for work tomorrow. But see, that's a distraction, and the enemy, he knows that he wants us to be distracted. He totally wants us to be distracted so we can't hear from God. I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. Hallelujah. Good evening, Prophetess V. I want to hear from God. I don't want my mind to keep wandering and wondering, well, if God said this, what am I going to do? Well, if God said that, what am I going to do? If God said it, we need to believe it, and that's it. If God says you're going to have this ministry and you're going to have that ministry, stop wondering how God's going to do it and just allow him to do it the way he's going to do it, and it will be done for you. If God says you're going to get this spouse and you're going to have this life and do this and do that, believe him and allow him to do it. Allow the Holy Spirit to move and do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Okay? Sometimes we just get in the way. We get in the way and don't allow God to do what God wants to do. Here we are. God, I'm going to help you out. Let me help you out, God. I think I should help you out because I don't really think you know what to do. Oh, see, that's where we get in the way. We make mistakes. We get in the way instead of trusting God and allowing God to do what he wants to do. Do we have any questions or comments? If you'd like to call in, the number is 1-323-693-3054. Again, the number is 1-323-693-3054. If you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, that chapter was very, very quick. So there's a lot of things that we can talk about on tonight. So if you like, would you please give us a call and press the number 1, and I'll get you on the line. Prophetess V, Minister Desiree, if you guys have anything to say, please feel free to give us a call, and I will get you on the line. Just press that 1, and I will get you on. I do know for a fact that God wants us to be attentive to his word. How many times have you actually sat down and tried to read the word of God, and your mind was all the way over on something that's supposed to happen next month or something that's supposed to happen next week? How many times have you actually sat down and read the word and or prayed? I like this one. I like this example right here. How many times have you actually tried to go and pray and your mind just went everywhere? I would get down seriously. I would be so serious. I'd be like, I got to pray. I'm going to pray. And, you know, I had made up my mind before I went to go pray that, you know, I'm just going, me and God, we're going to have this awesome prayer. And then when I get to praying, everything else is going on. My mind is everywhere. And I'm like, Lord, what is going on? What is going on? And I would have to say, you know what? Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray. I'm going to know what I'm praying about. I'm going to concentrate what I'm praying about, and I'm going to pray. Then I had to rebuke myself and be like, look, you want to stop thinking about X, Y, Z, because before you started praying, you wasn't thinking about that. Why are you thinking about all of this stuff now? Why are you thinking about all of this stuff now while you're trying to read your word? What is the problem? Stop thinking about that stuff. Get your mind in line with what's going on in the spirit. See, our natural mind wants to do what the natural mind wants to do and doesn't want to submit to the spirit. But we have to train our natural mind to submit to the spirit, because that's where it is. The relationship with God is in the spirit. We don't have a natural relationship with God. God's not here in the flesh. He's not here in a physical body. He dwells with us with his Holy Spirit. So we have a spiritual relationship with him. There's a song that, I don't know who sings that song. And Minister Desiree, you're right. The enemy does that so we don't pray, and you're right. Somebody has a song out that's called You're Not a Natural Being having a spiritual experience, but you are a spiritual being experiencing a natural experience, or whatever, however they sing it. But the point of it is that we are spiritual beings, and when we communicate with God, we got to communicate with him spirit to spirit. Yes, we pray in English until we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, if you pray in other tongues, then you pray in the spirit. But if you're praying in the natural, you still pray in the things of God, which are spiritual. I've learned how to pray the word of God. The Bible tells us that we don't even know what to pray for as we ought to, okay? The Spirit of God makes intercession for us because we don't know what to pray for what we ought to. The Bible tells us when we pray, don't use vain repetitions. Don't be like the publicans. Don't be just using big words and vain things, saying stuff just so people can hear you, so you can sound like you all deep and all that. No, we got to come to God spirit to spirit. See, God knows what we need even before we ask him what we need. He already knows what we need, but he wants us to submit and come to him as, well, he's our father. We shouldn't just expect God, oh, well, you're our daddy, so just give us what we want. No, we wouldn't want our natural children to do that. We would not want our natural children to say, just give me what I want, daddy. Give me what I want, mommy. No, we wouldn't give them anything. We're like, excuse me, first, who you talking to? Okay, there's a level of respect. There's a level of reverence that we have to give to Almighty God. That's why he wants us to come to him and ask him. If God gave us everything that we wanted, we never asked him for anything. He just handed us it. What would we need him for? How would we begin to appreciate him? How would we begin to love him if he just handed us everything that we wanted? Here you go. You want a house? Here you go. You want a car? Here you go. You want $1 million? Here you go. You want a new car? Here you go. You want new clothes? Here you go. You want that spouse over there? I'm going to take that spouse from that spouse and give it to you so it could be your spouse now, and that spouse won't have a spouse. No, come on. God doesn't operate like that at all. He doesn't operate like that. So I know, you know what, Jesus is Lord. That's all I know. Jesus is Lord. Again, the number is area code 1-323-693-3054. Minister Desiree, you're not going to call in? I know y'all have something to say. You and Prophetess V, can y'all give us a call? I don't know where my husband is. He was on the line, but he kind of disappeared. Oh, you there?
Yep.
Oh, okay. You have anything to say tonight, Bishop?
Good evening, everyone, to my wife and to our listening audience, both live and those who will listen to it later on in the archives. Truly, our minds are a very important part of our, how a man thinketh, so is he. So that's what the Word of God says. So we gotta channel our minds. It's one of the main targets of Satan. He wants to enter into our minds. He wants to confuse us. He wants to beguile us. He wants to lead us into a path of disobedience and a path of defiance. And our flesh longs to join hands with him, longs to yield to his temptations. But like the old hymn said, yield not to temptation. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be tried. We're going to be between two opinions sometime. But that's when we need to rely on prayer. We need to rely on the Word of God. We need to understand, call upon the Holy Spirit. Romans tells us that in order to mortify the flesh, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this, as my wife just said a moment ago. This is not a fleshly battle, though we're in the flesh. We're dealing with spiritual warfare, as Ephesians reminds us over and over again. So when we try to relegate this to just a flesh and blood, a human equation, then we're missing the point. This battle transcends even our own existence, the battle over good and evil, Satan and God. You know, yes, God has the victory, and he's always been in control, and we need to remember that. We need to remember that. Our minds need to focus on that we are on the side, if we call ourselves Christian, being Christ-like, we need to know that we already have the victory.
Yeah.
In fact, it tells us that we're more than conquerors. That's what Romans tells us, that we're more than conquerors.
Yeah.
Sometimes we approach life as though we're trying to succeed. We're trying to be victorious. We're trying to be winners. But we already are winners.
Already.
Satan is already a defeated foe. He knows it. He has the book. He has the Bible, too. He can read the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
He can read chapters 19 and 20. He knows his destiny. He knows where he's going in the end. And he knows that God has the power to do it. And so we need to align ourselves with God. We need to align ourselves on the winning side, whoever chooses to be on the losing side. Even as children, when we're being, when we're deciding on what sports team or what team to play for, we want to be on the winning team. And so we know who the winning team is. In some ways, it's not even a choice between good and evil. Not really. That's where Satan wants to deceive us, as though we have that there's really a choice. There should be no choice. Everybody knows, even our own society says a successful man is the one that everyone wants to strive to become. Everyone loves a winner. It used to be an old saying. Everyone loves a winner. And we are winners. I don't care what condition, no matter what situation you find yourself in right now, at the present moment, you are a winner. And even your turmoil, even your difficulty, even your struggles are meant, if you allow them to be, are meant to lead you and launch you into the greatest opportunity and the greatest purpose of your life.
Yeah.
Your enemy can, as I've said over and over again, your enemy can be that one that'll launch you into what you need to be.
Yeah.
The one that you think is out there to conquer you and defeat you, if you allow it to be, you know, and I love this, it is a state of mind. You can look at a glass half full with water and you can see it as being half full or you can see it as being half empty. It all matters how you view things. Many children have been in abusive situations, and the choice is this. Either they can excel above their situation and their environment and their past and their genes, or they can become carbon copies of what they themselves have been under in terms of stress and in terms of difficulty. We know of people even in history, that they had all the cards stacked against them, all the opportunities denied them. They had no hope, no reason to be successful, and yet they're successful in spite of their situation. They were abused. They were molested. They were born in poverty. They were shifted around from one home to another home because each family member only tolerated them for a moment, and they didn't want to invest in their future. But in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the obstacles, they rose above it and became millionaires, billionaires. Look at the story of Barack Obama. Look at the story of Oprah Winfrey. No matter how you look at how they've decided to lead their lives, just look at what turn their lives have made in them. Think about it. There was no reason where Barack Obama should have ever been the president of the United States with the past that he had. But yet here he is running for a second term. Whether you agree with his politics or not, you have to at least look at the life and say, my goodness, if he can make it, mother on welfare, mother dying at an early age, being raised by grandparents, and a product of mixed race in a time where interracial marriages and interracial relationships were a taboo, in many states it was illegal. Yet here he is, risen from obscurity to the presidency. Oprah Winfrey, I have many of things that I have, in terms of her views about many things. I'm in opposition, but I got to look at her life and say, here's a girl that was raped by uncles and family friends and mother's boyfriends and cousins, and all of this, had a baby as a teenager, and all of this type of thing that she had to endure. And yet here she is, a multi-billionaire. See, it's not where we come from. It's what we do and what we have. I was born with a disability. But I always said, I may have cerebral palsy, but cerebral palsy has never had me.
Amen.
And I've taken that throughout my life when people said I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. I took it as a challenge, not as a reason why I couldn't do. I took it as a challenge. You said, I can't be a preacher because I stuttered, because I stammered, because I walked funny, and my hands were funny. And you said, I couldn't do it because I couldn't do it, but I did it. Oh, you can't raise your daughter as a single parent. How can you change your daughter? How can you do her hair? How can you climb the stairs with her in your arms when you need both arms to go up and down stairs and all of this type of thing? Your balance is so bad. How can you raise a one-year-old into adulthood? But I did it.
You did it.
And no matter what people say you can't do, believe that through God, all things are possible. We say it, we sing it, we hum it. But do we believe it? We say so many things, and it sounds good, and the rhetoric sounds so appealing and so impressive. But then you look at the life, and you say, "But where have you applied it to your life? Begin to think differently. Begin to allow your heart to feel differently. And realize this one thing, that God created you for a reason." It was not by happenstance or by accident. There was no oops or a big bang that made you that allowed you to be here in this realm called Earth. That was no accident. That was on purpose. There was a grand design from the foundation of the world. He had you in mind before he had your great-great-grandmother.
Amen.
Before she was born, he had you in mind.
Yeah.
He had me in mind, and he had us in mind for a reason. Thank you, Lord, for that reason. Let's get a new attitude. Let's get a new mindset. And begin to live the life that God created you to live, to be the person God created you to be, to accomplish the things that God created you to accomplish in life. You're not a failure. You're a success. You're a success, first of all, because you came out of a billion and one chances of not being here, and you came through anyhow, and you're here on earth for another hour, for another moment, for another day. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have. And if you don't have an opportunity, make it for yourself.
Make it.
Opportunities we have is because we made the opportunity. It's not because it knocked at our door. We had to knock at its door. A door slams on you. Go through another one. Try unlocking. There's an unlocked door somewhere out there. Keep on trying the knobs until you finally find one you can go through. And sometimes thank God that that door that was locked in you was locked because you don't know what was on the other side.
Go ahead.
God bless you.
Go ahead.
You know, it's something that, you know, I feel as I get older, I feel more strongly about it than ever before. You know, I've taken a new attitude about a lot of things that were against the will of God. You know how I'm now overcoming them? It's not that I'm so much better than anybody else. It's if I seek the face of God, I turn to His Holy Spirit. I ask for His help. And He always shows me what to do. And now, you know what? I'm getting old enough and wise enough and sensible enough and level-headed enough to listen to what He says. And now, as I become adapted to it, it becomes easier and easier to submit. It becomes easier and easier not to yield. It becomes easier and easier. Have I finally arrived? Oh no. Have I finally attained it? Oh no. In terms of perfection, I'm still striving every day. I'm trying to renew my mind every day. But as I'm committed to it, as I've sold out to it, that I'm not going to be satisfied until God is satisfied. And that's a lifelong experience. So that means I'm going to keep on keeping on and trying and striving and pressing and pushing and enduring and holding out and holding on and changing my mind and changing my heart and changing how I think about things and changing what I used to do even the more every day. Anything I conquer, I'm going to look at something else to conquer. Anything I defeated, I'll thank God for it, and then I move on to the next thing. Each victory for some other to win, as the hymn writer said. We have victory to win another victory. I overcame this, I overcome that.
Yes.
I overcame them, I overcome those.
We'll overcome. Amen. Don't forget what He did for you yesterday.
Exactly. And the same one that brought you through drug addiction, the same one that brought you through homosexuality, the same one that brought you through all the vices and all the evils and all the temptations and all the sins that we've committed in our lives, and I include myself in it. He brought us through the dark hours, the bad hours, the bleak hours, the hopeless times. He brought you through. And if He brought you through that, He'll bring you through this, and He'll bring you through the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And anything you want Him to help you to overcome, He will, for He said that. And, you know, and sometimes we say, I mean, we always equate everything to the temporal. We always equate everything to the secular and to the material. When God says, you ask what you will, sometimes we need to ask not about possessions and cars and a house on the hill with a dog named Fluffy. Sometimes we need to ask about helping us with things that are virtuous. Lord, help me be this and help me be that, Lord, or help me overcome this. I need you to help me through.
Amen.
The need is not always about things of this world. We just said everything is spiritual from God. It's all spiritual.
spiritual.
And so when you read about need and you provide what you want and you provide what you need, no, I mean, instead of always equating it to physical and temporal and fleshly and material and momentary things of this world, we need to start equating those things. I need patience. Lord, give me patience.
My Lord.
I need more faith. Lord, you know, I want to pray for more faith because then I'll need more faith. And you're going to need more faith anyhow. You're going to need more faith anyhow. You're going to need more patience anyway. Whether you ask for it or not, there's going to come things in your life that's going to require more patience. There's going to come things in your life that will require more faith. I don't care whether you ask for it or not. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. That you know, if you ask for it, then he'll put something in your way where you're gonna be tried with your patience anyway. Don't believe me? Just look at your life. How many times you have to be patient? How many times you have to call on your faith? How many times you have to call on this and all those other virtues? How many times you've had to call on those things because something was pressing on every hand? It's going to happen anyhow. He said it rained on the good and the bad. Trouble's going to come to the righteous and to the unrighteous. In fact, Christ said it like this. They persecuted me. They're going to persecute you.
That's right.
They try to do me in. They're going to try to do you in, too.
That's right.
So, Lord, I need you, Lord. I need to be able to hold out and hold on. I say, in this country, we're blessed. There's many places in the world, even today, that if you call yourself a Christian, you're in danger of death. Don't have to wait for the Great Tribulation. There are places that are like the Great Tribulation lands right now. If you don't deny the Christ in you, even right now, you're doomed to persecution. You're doomed to really death, imprisonment, denial of your property being stolen and taken away and confiscated and all this type of thing, your family being split.
I know one thing, we better get spiritual.
And I'm going to tell you something, it's not many, many days hence that this, even our nation is compromising itself in terms of its faith.
Oh, definitely.
You know, we ain't there yet where you can be thrown in jail for going to church, but I'm going to tell you the truth, some of that is, I bet you won't be prosperous in this country if you stand on the Christ things, the things of Christ. Don't expect to be no this and that. Don't expect to be no great politician and no great this and a great that in this country, because it's not going to happen.
You know what I just saw on somebody's Facebook page today? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Somebody's Facebook page today said, yesterday, some people had got arrested for preaching the gospel in the park.
Look at that.
Arrested for preaching the gospel in the park.
Look at that.
So, I mean, it's
happening.
Happening right here in the United States. That used to be something that you heard about overseas, but now it's happening here in the United States. But guess what? That shouldn't deter us. We still need to make sure that we're doing what thus saith the Lord.
In fact, it should motivate us.
We need to make sure that we. You know, we need to make sure that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. That way, if we are somewhere witnessing, we don't have a Bible, we'll still be able to minister the Word of God without having the physical Bible in our hand.
That's true.
We need to get the Word of God inside of us, and how do we do that? We need to begin to pick up our Bible and begin to read the Word of God. Read it out loud. Write it out if you have to. Write out certain scriptures if you have to. Commit it to memory. That way, when it's time to go out there and preach the Word of God, we can. Nobody can take our Bible from us because the living Word is inside of us.
Right.
But see, like the chapter is talking about tonight, the wandering and wondering mind, if we pick up our Bible and we're not even concentrating on the Word of God, what good is it doing us? If we're picking up the Word of God and we're not even understanding what the Word of God is saying and trying to get understanding of what the Word of God is saying, what good is it doing us? We need to treat the Word of God like it's real. We need to treat the Word of God that is really life to us.
And let me say this too, Evangelist, if I may. We need to treat the Word of God like we do any book that we have. For example, if I'm a lawyer, I commit myself to reading every law book if I have to become a lawyer. before I become a lawyer. I see, we're Christianity, God's so good. I'm so glad he does have grace and mercy on us. Because really, we, you know, if we do it right, a doctor, I don't have no doctor that's still reading the first year textbooks, and he's going to doctor on me. I want to see his diploma. I want to see his degree. Not just his bachelor's degree. I want to see his master's, his doctor's degree. And what school did he go to? And what's his specialty? And I want to know that he studied that thing. A lawyer the same way. If there's a criminal lawyer, there's corporate lawyers. I want to know if I need a criminal lawyer, that man has studied something about criminal lawyer, criminal law.
Amen.
We're the only ones that, and we always talk about we're a vocation and a profession and all this kind of thing, and it's all true, but, you know, we don't know much.
We don't know much. That's why we need to go. I look at some people's profiles. Okay, Shirley, hit F5. I'm sorry, hit the F5 so to refresh it. And welcome Pastor Felicia on the line as well. What I wanted to say is that, what was I getting ready to say, Gerald?
About when we were talking about studying and being prepared as Christians, like other professions are prepared in their areas of concentration.
We need to study and we need to prepare ourselves and actually treat it like you just said. Like we treat. There's no way the lawyer who's been in school is going to pass the bar if they don't study. I don't care. If you don't study, you're not going to pass the bar. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how much you think you know. If you don't study, you're not going to pass the bar. I don't care what other kind of test. Just like the test that we're going through in this life. If we don't study and we don't practice, how are we going to go through this life for real successfully? How are we going to, those of us that are preachers, how are we going to preach the word if we don't study?
Exactly.
Those of us that are ministers, how are we going to minister the word of God to somebody else if we don't even know what the word of God is saying? It's not your opinion that causes people to be set free. It's the word of God. The word of God is life. It's not your opinion. It's the word of God. See, when the lady with the issue of blood, she was sitting in the temple listening to the word. She was in the temple listening to Jesus as he taught the word. Jesus saw her in the temple, and he called her to himself. And then he told her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Okay? But Jesus knew the word. Jesus studied the word. Where was Jesus? In the temple. Every time he turned around, where was Jesus at? In the temple. When he wandered off from his mother and father.
As a boy.
Joseph, as a boy, where was he? In the temple. They said this man, this boy sounds like he's learned. He sounded very mature for his age. Why? Because he stayed in the word. He was the word, but he stayed in the word. It didn't matter. He was still here in the natural. He was still here in the natural. Okay? But he studied the word. Okay? You can't just let your mind wander and wonder about stuff while you're studying. And just like Minister Desiree said before she left out the chat room, she said, the enemy doesn't want us to pray. The enemy doesn't want us to do anything that pertains to godliness. He doesn't want us to do anything that's going to cause us to mature. Can I say it that way? To mature in the word of God. We are never going to be perfect in the word. And we're not never going to be perfect until we get out of here. Okay? A perfect state person is not going to be perfect until we get out of here. Okay? But we're striving for perfection. We're striving every day to be mature in the word of God. That's what that word perfection means. And my husband taught me this. The word perfection means to be mature, not, oh, you just don't do anything wrong. And it's a, no, to be mature in the word of God. But how can you become the mature in the word of God if every time you pick up the word of God, your mind is gone somewhere else? Your mind is just gone somewhere else. And that's why it's so important that we study this word of God, but we train ourselves how to keep it from wandering and wandering all over the place. Wander every time you pick up the word of God. You just over here thinking about something else. You just, oh, somebody made you mad yesterday. You thinking about that. Somebody made you mad a month ago. You thinking about that. Somebody made you mad or whatever. Don't even have to be mad. Maybe you thinking about money. Maybe you thinking about, oh, wow, it's about to be Christmas. I need to go do this and I need to do whatever the case is. The enemy wants to take our minds off of the spiritual because he knows if we get spiritual, he's not going to be able to attack us like he does. If we get spiritual, we're gonna fight the spiritual battle differently than what we would do if we're not spiritual. See, Satan is a spirit, okay? We can't even fight him in the natural. We got to fight him in the spirit. But he don't want us to know that because he doesn't want us to be able to fight him, okay? It says the weapons of our warfare. If there's a warfare and you got weapons, it's a war. It's a fight going on, okay? It's not a natural battle. You can't see Satan. You can't touch him physically. Now, if he manifests in somebody, that's something different. But I'm talking about spiritually. You cannot see him unless you have discernment of spirit. And then he takes on different looks anyway. Okay? But how can you fight a spiritual battle in the natural? And Satan don't want you to fight this spiritual battle, and he wants you to keep staying in the natural so you can't defeat him. But I'm going to declare tonight in my life, and if I were you, I would declare it in your life, to say, guess what, Satan, you are a liar. You are defeated because I am a spiritual person. I have the mind of Christ. How can you have the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ was spiritual. The mind of Christ is spiritual. He's a spirit. Jesus is a spirit. Do you see Jesus here, Gerald? Is he here?
Nope.
Can you see him in the natural?
Not now.
I don't see him. Not with my physical eyes, I do not see Jesus. And I don't see the devil. And can I please say this? Because I saw this on somebody's Facebook page, and I don't know who the person was, but I was really going to say something to that person and let them know that that picture you have on your page is wrong. They got Satan and Jesus, the supposed to be images of Satan and Jesus arm wrestling. Don't you know there is no battle between Satan and Jesus? There is no battle between Satan and Jesus. Jesus already defeated Satan. There is no battle between them. The battle was with us and Satan. There's no battle with Jesus and Satan. That battle is already won. Am I correct?
Yeah, the battle is who we gonna. The battle is with us about the two. That's where the battle lies. The battles are wrestling with the two. We're wrestling with both of them.
Exactly, and that's what I want you to say.
We're wrestling between the two of them.
Point is that Jesus ain't wrestling with the devil.
We're wrestling.
And that's a misconception. There is no, what was that track that we had before when we got rid of them? There is no God versus Satan. There is no versus Satan versus God. God is almighty, okay? Satan was in heaven. Satan is a created being. There is no God versus Satan.
They're not equal.
Satan's power does not match God's power on any day. And we need to make sure that we understand that. There is no battle between God and Satan. If there were, God already kicked Satan out of heaven. Stop playing.
And God still
left heaven. He kicked Lucifer out of heaven. So if God has the power to kick him out of heaven, who? Are you serious? There is no battle between them two.
And whatever Satan does, God's still in control. God allows it to be. Don't ever get it twisted that Satan can overdo what God allows to happen.
That's right. Thank you for saying it. Say it again.
That God allows it. God's still in control.
He's still in control.
The ruler of the air, but God's the ruler of everything that exists, including Satan.
He can't go past God.
Can't do it. Ask Job. Satan had to ask God for permission to touch Job. He couldn't do it, and then he had restrictions. Yeah, you can touch the things of Job, but not Job. Then the second time he came, you can touch Job's body, but you can't kill him. There's certain things that Satan can't do. Satan can't override God. Satan can't do that. He leads you to think that he and God are equal in this thing. And evil and good and God and Satan are combatants. That's what he wants you to believe, because then you really think you have a choice of who you should follow. But there is no choice, like I said a moment ago, if you really be clear about it, because it's not one versus the other. You're on the losing side when you're on Satan's side, automatically.
Automatically.
You don't have to wait for revelation. You don't have to wait for the tribulation. You don't have to wait for none of that stuff. I'm telling you right now. On October the 9th, or October the 8th, rather, 2012, I'm telling you right now, when you join up with Satan, you're on the losing team. I'm telling you right now. You're on the losing team.
Yes, we're going. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead.
So you don't have to wait until all hell breaks loose in your life or he done tricked you. I'm telling you now, it ain't no trick. I'm telling you right now, you're on the losing team.
You're on the losing team if you're on Satan's team.
You can't win with Satan.
You can't win with Satan.
Because Satan can't win.
Satan can't win. He already defeated, so how he going to win?
So how can you win when you're on the losing side?
Jeez Louise.
How can you win when you know about World War II. You know which side won. You know which side lost. And you come back out of being in space somewhere, and you got the history book. You know who wins and who loses. You side with Adolf Hitler. He lost. His people lost. Nazis are no more. They're gone. If you join with the Nazis now, you're a fool. They're dead. They're through. They lost the battle. They lost the war.
My.
Satan done lost the war. And everybody on his team, they done lost the war too.
Everybody on the team. Just ask the third of the angels that got kicked out with them.
They done lost. Ask the ones also that procreated with women. During the times of Noah, they done lost. They're to them already. They're in Tartarus already. They're in prison.
Already. Wait.
When you rebel against God, you're on the losing side already. God's going to win. God cannot lose.
Sure can't. I don't know why people think he can. I don't understand it myself.
He cannot lose. So when you're on his team, it means you can't lose. You can't lose. I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. And I don't call them boys, because they were grown men when they went into that fiery furnace. They were men, those Hebrew men. When they went in there, they said, you know, you got no power over us. God can deliver us. But if he doesn't, we're still going to worship him. You know why they said that? Because in either case, they were going to be delivered.
Either way, yep.
They're going to either rest in heaven or they're going to be delivered from that fiery furnace. But in either case, they were going to be delivered.
Well.
Because when you are on God's side, you can't lose. You cannot lose. And I hope and pray people will hear that word right in that tonight. You cannot lose. Either way it goes, whether you're consumed by the fire in this world or whether you're rescued from it, either way it goes, when you're on God's team, you cannot lose. What did Paul say? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? He said that because he knows you cannot lose. Job said it like this: I know that my Redeemer, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Because I cannot lose.
Okay, Prophetess V, God bless you. Thank you for coming by. Have a good evening. Kiss the baby. Hallelujah. Pastor Felicia.
Hey.
Hey.
Felicia.
How are you?
Oh, not bad. I'm a bishop.
Yeah, you know that's the bishop.
Mm-hmm. Preaching.
Preaching. That's the one and only, the bishop.
The bishop.
Yes. Listen, we read through chapter 9, Pastor Felicia, like in 5 minutes. That was crazy. Right, Marina?
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm on Spreecast, too. I'm trying to do both of them, Spreecast and Blog Talk Radio. But we read through that thing so fast, it was ridiculous. But we did not go to chapter 10. I think we read, what did we read last week, Pastor Felicia? You know you got to keep me in check here because I'd be messed up. I think we were supposed to do chapter 11 tonight. The doubtful unbelieving mind. Did we do chapter 10? I don't know. Oh, I mean, the enemy is. Let me tell y'all something. My husband is in the room. I'm in another room. Don't you know the gas came on the stove and nobody in the kitchen?
Oh, wow.
Nobody's been in the kitchen since we ate dinner, and when I went in the kitchen, the gas wasn't on. I have not smelled any gas. Do you know the gas was on the stove just a few minutes ago? I kept sitting here saying, I smell gas.
I'm in the room. I'm not even in the living room.
He's not even in. That's why I said, you're not even in there.
Or in the kitchen. I'm the other part of the house.
The gas is on. I'm sitting here smelling gas. I'm like, wait a minute. I smell gas. The gas was on. You heard me?
My Lord.
Mm-hmm. I'm the man.
Now, you know, the enemy, he wants us to shut up. That's what that's about. He wants us to shut up. But as long as we have breath, we're not going to shut up. We're going to have Blog Talk Radio as long as we have a computer and a phone. And I rebuke the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. All that gas I smell right now, I will not get sick. My husband will not get sick. We will not pass out. Nothing's going to happen to us in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we belong to Jesus, right?
I didn't know when the gas was on.
You know I got that nose. I have this sharp nose for a reason.
Yeah, you got a nose.
I know, see.
That nose can smell a lot of stuff.
Don't laugh, Felicia. Let me read y'all something in this book, Rules of Engagement. Marina, can you see it? I was trying to show you in the Rules of Engagement, Satanic Weapons Exposed, by Dr. N. Cindy Trim. And on page 140, this is volume 3. It's called Overt Operations. It says, there are times when Satan's attacks upon you requires a less than obvious tactic. Equally, there are other times when his attack is in your face and obvious. That's what we call an overt attack. It is bold and brazen, and Satan definitely wants to get the glory. You heard that? He definitely wants to get the glory. We don't want to give him no glory, so what we want to do is we want to defeat him. She says, the counterattack is finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth, and having on a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, Ephesians 6:10-18. Okay? She says, and it came to pass, this is 1 Samuel 30, verses 1-8. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Pursue the enemy. He's not supposed to be making us run. He's supposed to flee from us. Pursue the enemy, or you shall overtake him, pursue the enemy. Hello? Bishop? Felicia?
Amen.
I'm starting to, I don't know what's wrong with y'all. What happened? Y'all went to sleep. Wake up. Wake up. Let me go in here and check and make sure my husband ain't overcome by this gas.
Wouldn't be that kind of gas I'd be overcoming.
Shut up, Felicia. I told you don't laugh at him. Excuse us, Marina. Excuse us, Marina. This is, we act like this some way sometimes, okay? We act like this. I'm sorry. Anyway, sometimes you got to have laughter because I'll tell you what. I'm going to turn the floor over to my husband. Go on, honey.
What?
I don't know.
I tell you, all I got to say this is this, that we need to just look at ourselves and look at this thing called Christianity. I'm going to tell you, one of the main things that we need to look at is the love that we share one with another. We really need to start revisiting that again. It's all about love. It made it very clear. God is love. When all's said and done, God is love. In all of his judgment, in all of his wrath, in all of the things, we look at him and say, look what he did in the Old Testament. Look how he destroyed and conquered. But it was all to reconcile man to him. Even in that, he wants to reconcile. He never wants to destroy. In the times of Noah, his intention was not to destroy man. In the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, it wasn't to destroy man. He still picked out a family amongst that group that he was going to restore and make a great people out of. His intention is never to destroy. It's always for reconciliation. And so I'm so glad that even when he sent his only son, Yahshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, it was to reconcile man and God, the Father, again, over and over again, between the prophets and the judges and the kings and everyone that ever God ever used. It was to reconcile man with himself. He always cared about man. Even the angels said, you know, what is man, when the psalmist said it? Yeah, I think he spoke for the angels. What is man that thou art mindful of, and the son of man that thou visited him? He made him just a little lower than angels. But I'd venture to say that man is a little higher than angels. In fact, the word of God says, in the end, man's going to judge the angels. We're going to be judges of the angels. So we're special in God's sight. We're precious in God's sight. We're made in his likeness and his image. And that was not by happenstance. Everything else was created by the word of God. God had a personal relationship with man. He came down and, first of all, he shaped man. Then he breathed into man the breath of life. It was a personal contact he had with man, unlike any other creature on earth. And so we have a special relationship with God, and the relationship is based, grounded, and rooted in love. And we are to love one another as we love God. And God made it clear, if you don't love one another, don't say you love me, because you're a liar if you say it.
Liar, 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 liar.
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 If you say it.
If you say you love God and you don't love me, you're a liar.
My Lord.
If I say I love God and I don't love you, I'm a liar.
My goodness. Man, that's the way you made it sound, my God. Lying ain't no good in the beast.
If it, nuh-uh. I didn't want it to sound pretty.
Mm-mm. It didn't sound pretty. You were successful in that.
Wow. Smarty pants.
You were successful. That was your intention. You succeeded greatly.
Pastor Felicia, what you have to say tonight, honey?
Please express yourself.
I'm listening. Y'all so cute.
We have switched from Battlefield of the Mind to the Bishop and Evangelist comedy show.
That's the battle for the mind.
That's the real battlefield of the mind. Come
All
on,
right.
Pastor Felicia, give us some word. Come on now, bring it, bring it, bring it.
From the Buckeye State. From the Buckeye State of Ohio. Pastor Felicia.
Oh, Lord. Amen. The battlefield of the mind.
We're going back there. Okay.
Oh, that's where we're going back. Y'all wanted to stay out there. I'm just come back to me. Oh my God, my daughter had just distracted me a little bit till she had came here. What was it I wanted to say? Come back to me.
Amen. Come back to her.
Shirley Moore. Can you talk? Can we hear you? Talk. I see you on the screen. I can't hear you. Oh, Lord, she done froze. Her picture, her camera done froze.
Poor little Shirley.
Oh, Lord. It's trying to come back on. I don't have nothing else to say. Pastor Felicia don't have nothing to say. My husband don't move to Comedy Central. So I think it's okay if we end the broadcast. What y'all think?
Blessed be the tide and by.
Uh-oh. Shirley.
Is Shirley around?
She on here.
You on the phone?
I can hear you. Let me turn it up a little bit. Okay, I can hear you. What do you have to say about the battlefield of the mind?
He said what?
I don't know what she just. I put our picture up, and she was saying she don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
Oh.
I put our precast so they can see our picture.
Oh. We in the living room?
OMG. Do you have anything to say? We read chapter 9. It was very quick, right? Yeah, because if you wasn't on the first 5 minutes, you would miss it, right, Marina? We read that one really quickly. I should have read chapter 10. Felicia's over there cracking up. That was like 5 minutes. Chapter 10 is entitled, let me see what chapter 10 is called. It's a little bit longer than chapter 9. It's called A Confused Mind.
Oh, my.
Confused Mind. Oh, Lord.
Mind, yes.
That's going to be something.
Yeah, and guess what? The first scripture that she has in there is James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. It says, if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault-finding, and it will be given him. She said, only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, who hesitates or doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither, and tossed by the wind, is tossed to and fro, okay, by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is a man of two minds, double-minded, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Ooh! She said he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Y'all should read that. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Okay. Matthew 16:8 says, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves? I think this is going to be a good chapter, A Confused Mind. Yeah. You guys should read that for next week. Okay, let me tell y'all this. If you're in the Philadelphia... What? What'd you say? Anyway, on October the 18th, 19th, and 20th. Oh, you know what? She, let me have to wait. I don't know what she talk about over there. October the 18th, 19th, and 20th, 2012, Refuge of God Church Ministries is having a three-day revival in Philadelphia. Refuge of God Church Ministries, where the overseer is Bishop Gerald Scott, who is my husband, who you guys heard on the air tonight, Marina.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Felicia, you know who that is. Shirley, you know who that is. Okay? This is my husband. We're sponsoring evangelist Barbara Mack from Jacksonville, Florida. She'll be here for three nights doing a revival at 6715 Oxford Avenue in the northeast section of Philadelphia, okay, at Watch and Pray Ministries. What was that?
Hmm?
We'll be there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We'll be there doing the three-day revival, and then if revival is entire lifting up Jesus. If you're in the Philadelphia area, we invite you to come out. If you're in the Philadelphia area, we invite you to come out. Praise God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We will be introducing out of a Pure Heart Ministries, of which I am the overseer, but I am not a bishop.
Executive director.
Thank you. Executive director of Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. And Out of a Pure Heart Ministries is a ministry that goes forth, and my sister and I, we go out and we deliver clothes to the homeless, especially, well, we did it last winter, summer. We did it in the winter, took clothing, we took outer garments, we took shoes to the people that are homeless in the streets of Philadelphia. We'd like to do more of that, as well as taking them toiletries. You know, they need soap and water. Well, they can only carry a limited amount of stuff because they are homeless. So they need things like toothbrushes and toothpaste, you know, some toilet paper, stuff like that. So Out of a Pure Heart Ministry wants to go out and do these things. We want to give them clothes. We want to give them, you know, long johns, hats, coats, scarves. We did that last
mm-hmm.
year, and we did it out of our own monies. We did not have any donations coming in except for some clothes that we gave away. But, you know, the hats and the gloves and the scarves and stuff like that, we purchased that with our own monies and gave that stuff out. And we would like to give out more things this winter because I believe this winter is going to be harder than last winter was. Just by the way the weather's turning now, I believe the weather's going to be a little bit rougher. But even right now, the weather has turned, and I don't have anything to give the people. I don't have any coats or anything to give them out there. And it's so bad that when you go out there, whatever you have on, they want what you have on. didn't the guy do that to me last time, Shirley, when I had on my hoodie? He was like, let me have that. Yeah, he was trying to get my hoodie. So we need donations because even in the thrift store, the thrift shop has raised their prices as well. You know,
they
stuff
sure
that you
have.
Used to go in and get for $1 is now $6 and $7. That's almost mm-hmm. a Walmart price for some things. So we're looking for donations. If God moves on your heart to send donations, please contact us via Facebook. I am on Facebook, Teresa God is Making Me Over Again, Scott. You can also contact me on Facebook, Salvation. What's It All About is another page. Also have a Blog Talk Radio page on Facebook, as well as Overcomers, Overcame by the Blood of the Lamb page. So if you need to get in touch with me, my email address is MRS, like Mrs. TJ Scott at gmail.com. If the Lord so moves on you to bless us that way. If not, pray for us because we definitely need prayer. We definitely need prayer. Amen, amen, amen. So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Amen. And I have to remember to announce that all this week about the revival and make sure I blast it on my page. Shirley, make sure you blast it on your page. Gerald, make sure you blast it on your page. about this revival. Now, Wednesday night, if the Lord says so, excuse me, Marina, we're going to try to come back again on this Spreecast, and we're going to have testimony service. So if you know anybody, if you have a testimony, you can feel free to call in, Marina, or you can do it on here if you have if your webcam, because I don't see your picture. So if your webcam is up or whatever, and you know, you can come in that way, and we'll have testimony service, because I know that God has done something for every one of us that's on the line, either on Spreecast or on Blog Talk Radio. God has done something for all of us. Now, if God leads you to give your testimony, do so. If not, hold it until he tells you to give it, okay, because not everything is for everybody at that particular time. However, I have something that I want to share on Wednesday, and my husband said something to me today that we all ought to, you know, really take on and do. God doesn't want us to be embarrassed about him. God doesn't want us to deny him at all. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to lift him up. And I do believe that God allows situations to happen so that we can praise him, so that we can lead the unbeliever to God. You know, I believe God allows situations for somebody to get saved or somebody to get delivered or somebody to get an understanding of who God is. You know, whatever that person's name was that was in the Bible that says, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Somebody's there right now. Somebody's sitting there right now who is almost persuaded to be a Christian. They're almost persuaded. Maybe your testimony might be something that might just take them over and cause them to be persuaded and get born again. You don't know. It could be the very thing that you say out your mouth that causes them to be saved. See, the enemy, he don't want nobody to know what God did for you. He don't want nobody else to come out. He don't want nobody else to overcome. He don't want that to happen. He wants them to stay stuck. Okay? But I got a testimony. If y'all would have been on the broadcast, what night was that, Shirley? Friday? We had testimony on Friday because we didn't do it on Wednesday, but we had testimony service on Friday. And that young lady that was on there on Friday, she gave that testimony, and I'm telling you, it was something. Her testimony was really, really something. And whatever. Y'all missed it if y'all wasn't there, but her testimony was awesome. And I'm going to invite her back on again because she has even more testimonies to give. My husband has a mighty testimony to give from his birth. Mm-hmm. He has a testimony. My sister has a testimony. I know Pastor Felicia gave her testimony. She has a testimony. Some of this stuff we hear just makes us cry because it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, you really went through that? But God brought you through it. You really went through that? Yup. Pastor Felicia can talk about the stuff she went through now. She don't have to cry about it no more. If she does cry, it's tears of joy for God bringing her through. It's not for her sitting in a room all depressed and hating herself and all of this other stuff anymore. It's because it's tears of victory. Y'all don't want me to sing tonight. Oh, my God. My sister over there tripping. She over there having how I got over spasm. I think it's a delay on her thing, but she over there. She has this song, Marina, that she loves called How I Got Over by Vicky Wyden.
That's a nice song.
We're going to play that on Friday, and what I'm trying to do is see if I can I'm going to upload the song that they used to make me sing in church all the time called I Got a Testimony. I'm going to see if I can upload that. I'm telling you, Gerald, didn't they make me sing that all the time?
Yep.
I got so tired of singing that song. I think that's why I can't sing now, because I just really got tired of singing it. I was like, I'm not singing that song no more. But I did have a testimony, but they was running it in the hole. But guess what? I'm going to see if I can find that and download that song. I'm going to try to download the remix. Pastor Felicia, if you can find it for me, can you help us out? Pastor Felicia, Lord, the
yes, ma'am.
She done disappeared again, Lord.
You can't hear me?
Yes, okay. I can hear you. So we're going to try to download those testimony songs and play them on Wednesday. Now, Friday, Prophetess V is supposed to be on, okay? Prophetess V is supposed to be on Friday. Now, Pastor Felicia, I may need you on Friday because someone asked me to come to their church Friday night and do the prayer. So they'll probably be here about 20 minutes to 7, something like that, to go to their church on Friday. Oh, Friday's my sister's birthday. Yay, Shirley. Shirley's birthday's Friday. Look at her. I wish y'all could see what she's doing. Today is one of my brother's birthday. Friday is Shirley's birthday, and then the next Friday is my other sister's birthday. Saturday? Thursday. Oh, see, it's the 12th and the 18th. How about that? So 6 days after Shirley's birthday, my other sister's birthday. Now, okay. So we're going to sing happy birthday to her Friday. Happy birthday to you. All right, those are you people who can sing. Okay. Marina, thank you for joining us tonight because we really don't have nothing else to say. We just acting up right now. The word has gone forth. So we're going to go on and get off the air. We're going to get off the air. And Marina, thank you so much for joining us. Marina, are you on Facebook? I like Spreecast because Spreecast make you seem like you're a celebrity. It says, be a producer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, I'm already a producer. Yes, I have to add that to my resume. I'm serious. I produce the show, don't I?
Absolutely.
I set it up. I schedule it, and then I run it, right? And then when Felicia come on, she run it. Then when Gerald come on, he run it. So I guess we all better add producer to our name.
All right.
Hey, look, I don't know about y'all, but that's what I'm going to do. How about that? Is this girl going to get out the camera messing with her hair? Looking like Pocahontas. You know what? Marina, don't look at her. Don't look at her. Don't do it. This Gerald, you can do Spreecast. You can do Blog TV. You can do all of this because all you got to do, the camera is right here on the computer. You don't have to touch nothing. All you got to do is just sit there and talk.
Mm-hmm.
This is easy. Gerald?
Yep.
You heard me?
Yep.
You know what? Stop laughing, Pastor Felicia.
Go on, you do what you got to do, Felicia.
No. Don't do it.
Laugh, Felicia, laugh.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Medicine.
Woo, Jesus.
There he is.
All right, who want to pray us out? Because we got to go.
Felicia.
Wow.
Bring that. And then you have to play that song. No.
What's all?
How I got over.
You got to make sure you do the bop bop doo bop how I got it over part then.
I don't know how.
Never mind.
You got to do the scatting part. Bop bop doo bop how I got it over. Bop bop doo bop how I made it over. Bop 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 bop.
Right?
Yeah, you got to do that. You go, wait, let's play it. Marina, wait. Wait, we're going to play it. Let's play it. Hold on. Hold on. Y'all be cracking me up. Let me see. How I got over. Uh-oh. Is it on here? Let's see. Oh, I don't see it.
Oh, wow.
I know it's on here because I didn't do anything. I got over. you don't see it. Now, we played it the other night, so I know it's on here.
Yeah.
Talk till I find it. I don't see it. Don't burn down my bridge. I didn't do anything. He's our God. He's our God. I can't hold it. I choose to worship. Oh, wow. I don't see it. I got to play my tomorrow song. Wait a minute. She over here. You here? Wait a minute,
I
woman.
Hear big.
Hold on, woman. Here it is. Hey. Yes, that's Pastor Felicia.
Hey. Hey.
You know, back in the day when we used to have testimony service, my mama would stand up on her feet and she'd throw her head back and sing songs like this. She said, how I got over, how I got over my soul.
Oh,
got people around me. My 21-year-old nephew, Tim Bowman Jr., he's gonna show us how to sing it in the 21st century. Timmy, how would you say it?
I say it's got time to rap, how I made it over. Got time to rap, how I made it over. Got time to rap, how I made it over. Hey. Got time to rap, how I made it over. I'm gonna need that time to rap, how I made it over.
And you said, I know, but tomorrow.
Good night, y'all.
Wait a minute, I've got to play a couple more songs.
Waiting at the station, you've begun to feel impatient, cause you're tired and you look for an answer, but it's nowhere to be found. Oh. And your life feels uncertain, and your soul is tired of hurting from the race and the pace of this world. Don't let it get you down. No. It's the end. There's a train that's bound for glory. It's waiting for you. Listen to the gospel story. Let the Spirit show you how. Yeah. My sweet Jesus, God has a plan. He's looking for a man who will open up and do his will and take his love and spread it all around. Yes, indeed. He gave his only son for his mercy to be done, and if you trust in his name and his word, then his kingdom will come. Yes, sail the train that's bound for glory. It's waiting for you now. Just listen to the gospel story. Let the Spirit show you how. My sweet Jesus,
we're going to have a karaoke, a gospel karaoke. So we go, I'm going to put some more songs on here. We're going to be jamming on Sunday, okay? Pastor Felicia. That's going to be
Amen.
Fun. Gospel karaoke. We're going to have fun.
Hey, let me hear you say, oh, oh, oh. Let me hear you say, oh. You had enough,
uh-huh.
But it's been hard for everyone. You're not alone,
uh-huh.
You've been hurting way too long. Let it go and just move on. Make your way down to the altar, hand it over and leave it there. It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be
alright.
It's gonna be
alright. It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
Everything that you've been worried about, you need him to work it out. He'll work it out, yeah. All of your burdens, bring them all down, yeah. You're gonna get an answer to your prayer if you. I know you need healing.
and you need some peace, come on and get your breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Haven't you been suffering long enough? Make your way down to the altar, hand it over, leave it there. It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
Gotta be strong. Sometimes you win,
Pastor Felicia. Oh, you still on the phone. Okay, I got you. Go on and pray then. Mm-hmm. That's what you got out of it. Go.
None. That's what I was waiting on. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we come to you thanking you, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done on this broadcast on tonight, Father God. Lord God, I ask that you bless all those that have listened in, Father God. Lord God, I ask that your word be pierced in their hearts so that we do not go away the same that we came, Father God. Bless all the callers that shall call in and listen to the archives, Father God. Touch their hearts, pierce them, Father God. Convict us, Lord, from any wrongdoing, any thoughts, anything that we have said or done that was not like you in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we repent of it right now, Father God. We turn it over to you, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you forgive us, and we thank you in advance for forgiving us, oh God. Lord God, we turn away from that thing, Father God. And Lord God, we ask that you to give us the strength to stay away right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that your Holy Spirit take charge over our thoughts and over our minds, Father God, each and every day as we go about our day, as we minister to people, as we uplift and encourage them, Father God, give us the words to say. Lord God, we thank you, Father God, for all those that are out there that don't know you, Father God, that are being drawn, even right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. Lord God, we ask that you release your Holy Ghost to arrest them in the name of Jesus, and we thank you in advance. Hallelujah, for their salvation, oh God. Lord God, we come giving you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, for you said if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men. Father God, we ask that you draw the men unto you, Father God, not unto us, but unto you, Father God. Let them see your glory in everything that we do say and wear in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name, and it is so. Amen.
And it is so. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. God bless you. Good night.
Night. God bless you. Good night.
Good night. Let the people say, hey.